The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Hope, because the God of hope put you there, the God of great expectations. See, everyone thinks of hope as some kind of wish. I hope this happens. I hope that happens. No, when I'm deriving my hope from God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I'm certain of what he's going to do. I have great expectations. It's a supernatural certainty. Amen? That's a good place to be, right? So I've told you the only one that can move you out of that position is Satan, and he's going to do it by trickery, by lies. That's who he is. And here's three ways and three things that takes a person out of their position. Selfishness, fear, and pride. Okay? Today, we're going to talk about selfishness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, it says, "But know this, that in the last days, which we're in, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." It even starts that way. So in this letter that he's writing to Timothy, he says, look, in the last days, perilous times, that's kind of a scary time. Well, there's your fear part. They'll be lovers of themselves. Then look what it says. Lovers of money, boasters, here we are, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Underline this verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. You know, you're going to see that. We are in the end times. You're going to see these things. But we're not going to walk in these things. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 in the Amplified. It says, do nothing from factional motives. Now remember, I'm in the Amplified. Through contentiousness and strife, through selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, and it says a lowliness of mind. You know, we've talked about the battle happens in your mind. It's in your soul where the battle happens, right? And if you haven't been here before, you're here for the baptisms. You're welcome here. I'm glad you're here. We talk and teach of man being made in the image of God. Okay, God is a three-part being. He's one, but he's three, right? He's Father God. He's Holy Spirit. He's Jesus, the Son, right? Jesus came in the flesh. Yes, God took on a body. Jesus is that body. The Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. God has a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that he seals with believers. He sends his spirit to live inside of his believers, inside his church, empowering them to hope. That's fantastic. Father God has a mind. He has a will. And read the Old Testament, he has emotions. Okay? We are made with a body. That body's changing, as the hair on my head tells me. I have a mind, will, and emotions. I have a soul. And I have a spirit that is sealed with the Holy Spirit now because I've accepted Christ as my Savior. That Spirit of God leads me into all truth. But my soul is making the decision, am I going to follow or not? Right? That lowliness of mind, it's always your mind and your soul that's making the decision. And see, remember how, you know, Eric and Debbie did such a great job that they had, you know, they had John, they had Robbie Joe, they had Beto. And remember I said, you know, Beto wasn't a very good flesh. you know, because he was real quiet, just kind of standing over there. No, no, no. It's a two-year-old. Your flesh is a two-year-old. Because a two-year-old is very selfish. Has anyone had two-year-olds here? I had four of them. Two at once, by the way. They're selfish. I mean, never did I come home and my two-year-olds sat down with me and said, Dad, how was your day today? How are you doing today? Would you like some water, Dad? Would you like something to eat? Can I clean this up for you? Sweetie, I'm sorry. They don't do that. They're two. And that's why I'm not picking on two-year-olds. I just know them. They're selfish. They think about themselves. They think about the cookie in the jar. Because that would make themselves feel good. They don't even think that mom can hear the little chair being drug over to the camera. What are you doing? Nothing. Oh, no. That's the flesh. Selfishness is tied up in the flesh. It wants what it wants. The Bible tells us to crucify our flesh daily, but actually that means moment by moment. Because your flesh is going to want what it wants. And the Spirit of God inside of you when you're saved wants the things of God. Because God knows what's best for you. He has great expectations for you. And we get to make that decision. And it does involve your mind. That's why we have these letters telling us how we ought to live. It says, let each regard others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do yourself. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. You want to talk about a selfless act? Coming down from heaven and taking on a body, living amongst sin, but not sinning, and then allowing yourself to take on all the shame and the sin of the entire world he took on. That was a selfless act. See, he didn't just take on the sin that was present at that time, right, on the earth. He took on every sin from the garden with Adam and Eve up until the great white throne judgment. All of them. And he took them on at the cross. That's why God had to look away. That was a selfless act. And what the word is saying there is we need to take on that mindset. Now, do we do it? Does your inner two-year-old jump out once in a while? Yes, it does. And that's when you repent. You say, Lord, first you say, Sarah, okay, forgive me. You say, Lord, that doesn't advance your kingdom. Forgive me. Help me to be spirit-led, not fleshly two-year-old led. In the Passion, I'm going to read these verses in the Passion. It says, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. And consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. I like that. I understand that. You know, you'll hear me talk about Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You know when you're in the flesh, you know when you're in the Spirit. When you're in the Spirit, what comes out of you? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. self-control because my self wants to be out of control, because my selfish little two-year-old wants to be out of control. But the fruit of the Spirit's presence inside of me is self-control, meaning my soul man chooses to follow the leading of the Spirit. Okay? Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, to freedom. Only don't use freedom, liberty, as an opportunity for the flesh." And then look what it says right after. It says, "But through love, serve one another." That word flesh in the Greek is the human nature, the earthly nature of man, apart from the divine influence. I thought that was interesting. See, without the divine influence, we are in trouble. Everyone. Yes. We have to have the Spirit's divine influence. In 2 Peter 2, verse 10, I'm kind of jumping in because I wanted to make this point. Read the whole thing. It says, "And especially those who walk according to the flesh," he's kind of telling what happens, "in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority." Look what it says. "They're presumptuous and self-willed." It's talking about people that are of the world. You see, you know when we say, "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths"? That scripture, you know what I'm talking about? Proverbs, yeah. You see, your own understanding is going to lead you to what you had before you came to Christ. And it wasn't good. You may have thought it was good for a while, but it wasn't good. It led to death and destruction. You see, it was funny. I was praying one time and I said, "God, I just don't understand this." And you know what he told me? He says, "You're not smart enough to understand this." I said, "Well, God, you're right." I couldn't argue there. "I'm not smart enough to understand this, God." And he said, "But you don't have to be. I gave you my mind. I gave you the mind of Christ. You don't have to lean on your smarts or lack thereof." I used to get really mad at my friend Sam because he would say, "I'm just not smart." That made me so mad. And then God tells me I'm not smart. But I would tell Sam, I said, "You're wise. Because you have the Word of God living inside of you." You see, and we can have that wisdom from above, that perfect wisdom. And it's in our soul we decide, am I going to apply the wisdom of God led by the Holy Spirit, or am I going to hold on to my self-will that's led by the flesh, that's going to lead to all the things that it says in Galatians that happen. In fact, in Galatians 6:19, when after it talks about, you know, here's the fruit of the Spirit, well, here's the lust of the flesh, what the flesh does. At the very end in 19, in the Passion, the first part it says, "The behavior of the self-life is obvious." Isn't it obvious when you've got yourself in a big pickle? Isn't it obvious when things are just a flat mess? And what's the last thing people do when they've tried everything else and it's all failed, right? And you're bankrupt, you're broke, you know, all the bad things that you've ever thought of is happening. What's the last thing people do? "God, help me." And how many of you did God go to at that point and say, "Well, I tried for years, Monty, and you never accepted, so you're on your own now"? That didn't happen. He was ready. He had been ready for years, right? I was finally ready to crucify that self-life that was obvious, right? You see, selfishness, and people, you know, now don't blurt out a name. You've been around selfish people, right? It's obvious. And then you think, like, the last week, That was kind of selfish. And it's not that you walk in condemnation, but in those areas where we're with people and you're interacting with people, it's always good to check with the Spirit and say, Lord, am I considering them? Am I considering Ralphie Joe? He brought me Ralphie Joe to my office one day. I picked on Ralphie Joe for years and years. He was kidding with me. Ralphie Joe's my fictitious name of the person that bugs you at work every day, that tests your patience every day, that tests your walk with the Lord every day. Do I consider Ralphie Joe's interest? Because I have to. I do it in a Spirit-led way. I don't lean on my own understanding and how I deal with him, but I'm Spirit-led. I should have said this before, but you know the ABCs of salvation? You know, if I'm saying we need to be led by the Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, you're not going to be led by the Spirit. You're not going to be. And that self-life is going to be obvious. I hate to tell you that, but it's just true. Because the Bible tells you. So I guess I don't hate saying it. I'm going to say it. Having the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you is as easy as ABC. A, you admit and acknowledge that you've sinned and you need a Savior. Newsflash, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the Bible says. B, you believe Jesus saves. Do you believe that? And he can save you for every one of those sins. And see, you confess that with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. And the Spirit of God comes inside of you, the Spirit of truth that leads you into all truth, that empowers you to hope, to have great expectations in your life, that empowers you to crucify the flesh moment by moment. As Ralphie Joe asks another question that you answered multiple times. See, as a church, as those that have established positions in the body of Christ, we have to emulate the head. We have to emulate Christ. We can't walk in self-will. We can't walk in selfish behavior. Okay? We're Spirit-led. Okay? You know, a lot of times in a reactive way, when a preacher preaches about selfishness, the first thing people want to do reactively is, well, I'm going to help somebody. I want to go help somebody. I want to go help somebody. I don't want to be selfish. I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to help everybody. I'm going to help everybody all the time. And in about 20 minutes, you're so wore out that you go back to God and say, well, I guess I'm just a selfish person. No. You're trying to lean on your own understanding. What I want you to do is talk to God and say, God, show me the areas of my life where I need to consider others. Now, show me what to do. I'm not going to run around. You see, standing in your position is standing in your position. See, your own understanding will lead you into multiple positions all at the same time and wear you out. See, that's not what God wants. God wants you in your position. He's established you there. Is this making sense?
Yes.
I left my notes about along many miles ago. But I love that about God. I love being Spirit-led. Because he knows what we need. That's why he told me I wasn't smart enough. I needed to hear that. You're not smart enough. And praise God, we don't need to be. But I can tell you something. We need him. We need him so greatly. In James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I love it. In the Passion, the beginning of this chapter, it says, living close to God. I like that. Verse 1, That's what it said. I'm just going to read one verse of it. You can read the whole thing. It's really good. It says, what is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? This is a problem with people, right? And we're called to love people. Our battle isn't with people. It says we battle not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers and darkness of this world. We're in a spiritual battle, so we don't battle other people. We battle spiritual entities. They may work through other people, but I'm not battling the people. It says, what is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? I mean, as I'm looking at all my scriptures today, I'm like, wow. So many people battle for their own way. I've been married a long time. I learned pretty quickly, I don't want to battle for my own way. I mean, especially when the creator of the universe told you you weren't smart anyway. Why would I battle for a way that I don't even know? You know, as you get older, you kind of realize, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do anyway. Thank God you know, right? I mean, seriously. And I'm okay with that. I don't want to create contention with someone else battling for a way that might not even be the right way. I'm not saying we're supposed to just roll over. No, no, no. We speak the truth in love, but you need to be sure that the Spirit's leading you into that truth. And when you're being led by the Spirit, you know what happens? You bring peace into the situation because that's fruit of the Spirit. You bring gentleness to the situation because that's a fruit of the Spirit. You bring kindness to the situation. Oh, another fruit of the Spirit, right? You bring self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah. You see how his way is the better way? Always? Always better than my way? Always. And so, and here's the thing, guys. Our body is a lot of selfless people doing selfless things all the time. Laid up in bed, and look what happens. Everything just happens. I don't have to call and check if it's going to happen. I can have my guitar player playing a six string with five strings. Did you see that? That string flailing around. He's playing away. It didn't bother him. You know, we have people here, and each and every one of you, I know you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And it shows. It shows. And I appreciate you. And I appreciate what you're doing. I know what you're doing. He knows what you're doing. Whether I know or not, doesn't matter. He knows. Man, and he cares, and he loves you. And he wants the people out there that don't know him to feel that love, to have that hope that comes from him. I think I better stop there. Did that make any sense today? Yes. We just started. Well, I appreciate it, but it wasn't mine. It was his. But, okay, so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move from here. Oh, it's all good, you guys. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for this day and these people, Father. Thank you for your word that does not return void, that accomplishes everything that you've sent it to accomplish, Father. I thank you for all our babies. Bless them all richly, Father. I thank you for them. I'm so glad they're here in church. I'm so glad they're here. I thank you for your people, Father. Thank you for your Spirit that resides inside of your people. Thank you for establishing each and every one of us in the position of the body of Christ, called and fully equipped, Father. Lead us in that wisdom, Father. I know you will. Help us to have those obedient hearts where our soul is so saturated by your Spirit that the flesh just doesn't even bother us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay. So, lots of things. And I wrote them down.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com
or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseratone. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseratone.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea.